The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
When Nicole Sandler sits down to do her show, she's the producer, booking the guests, pulling the audio, planning the show, the engineer, running the controls, troubleshooting any problems, playing the sounds, calling the guests, and she's the webmaster, writing the blog, posting the podcast, maintaining the website, not to mention the host, interviewing the guests, explaining the issues, giving opinions, and calling out the bad guys, and then you get the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. Hi, welcome to a Thursday. I'm reminded that it's a Thursday because somebody in the YouTube chat room who goes by the screen name of Labor Creates Capital says, it's Friday for me. I'm guessing it's a he. It could be a woman, but I you know, with the people in the chat room, I often have a mental picture of who they are. For instance, there's a Chris in there, and I just assumed that Chris was a woman. And then I spoke to Chris on the phone, and it's a man. So you can't make assumptions. But anyway, Labor Creates Capital said, yay, it's Friday for my work schedule. And then wrote, oops, I mean, today is my Friday, and tomorrow's my Saturday number one. Okay, whatever. Celebrate, rejoice, enjoy. The rest of us, well, you know, we still have tomorrow as Friday. Today is Friday Eve, also known as Thursday. But we do have something to look forward to tomorrow, because that's when we're going to get the results of this, the Supreme Court review. I know it sounds like a show, right? The Supreme Court review, singing, dancing, you know. Excluding minorities. Apparently tomorrow, this is the review that Joe Biden ordered, because there are many of us saying you need to expand the court. That's simply it. Donald Trump and his gang of marauders packed the court. They stole two, count them, two, if not three, well, three Supreme Court seats. And so the only way to make things a little bit more equitable is to expand the court, the number of justices on the Supreme Court. And there's nothing in the Constitution that says nine. Nine is the number. The number shall be nine. Not shall it be 10, nor shall it be eight. Nine shall be the... That doesn't exist anywhere, right? So I read somewhere today, someone said, you know, there are 13 district courts around the country. There should be 13 Supreme Court justices to correlate. Works for me. So anyway, tomorrow is the day we're going to get the results of this review of the Supreme Court. So, you know, we got that to look forward to. Not much else, though, really, because nothing's happening. Congress, as I mentioned the other day, is on recess this week. What? Let me get this straight. We are on the precipice of a financial disaster because, although they put a couple of band-aids on things over the last couple of weeks, we are still slated to run out of money. So the government will shut down on or around December 3rd if nothing's done by then. At around the same time, allegedly, we're going to hit the debt ceiling. So we'll default for the first time in history if nothing is done by then. And then we've got these two major pieces of legislation that are the agenda of this president and really the control of the government, which now is in Democratic hands, but just so barely, is on the line here. And if the Democrats, who control allegedly both houses of Congress and the White House, can't pass an infrastructure bill, then why should people reelect them? Well, I know why, and you know why, but, you know, the world of politics and of punditry is just a bunch of
bullshit.
They're just so horrible. You know, I subscribe to all of these morning newsletters because I read everything in the morning, and then I assemble a newscast. It's What's News. It runs at the top of the hour, most hours, on the Progressive Voices Network, and I podcast it out. So it's there, and I play it at the end of the show each day. But so I go through everything and I try to get a wide variety of sources. Some are much more credible than others. And there's one publication called The Hill, which is just, you know, it's so funny. I saw Howie Klein, who will be with us today because it's Thursday. He referred to The Hill as a trade magazine in one of his posts up at downwithtyranny.com today. And I it made me laugh because, you know, Howie and I both come from the radio and record industry. I was in music radio for most of my career. And Howie Klein, when I first met him, was president of Reprise Records. Reprise Records, huge label, division of Warner Brothers. Oh, hold on. Someone's calling. I should have turned that down. But okay, we'll go there. It's someone, it says anonymous, which is always kind of scary. Hi, who's this? Hello?
It's Chris.
It's what?
Yeah, it's Chris.
Chris? Hi, Chris. From where?
Texas.
From Texas. Okay, Chris from Texas. What are you calling about? What's on your mind?
Trying to address some of these problems with the Build Back Better.
Problems?
Agenda.
Problems with the Build Back Better agenda. Okay, like what?
Well, we need to get to the core of what's in it, and I think Biden needs to do a better job of explaining what's in it. And
okay.
Go before the press and for the American people and answer questions and
yeah.
have some dialogue about it.
Okay. And the people who wrote it are doing just that. Biden is not the best orator. You know, he's not the best explainer of things. And so, frankly, I'd rather hear.
President.
Yeah, he is. But that's not his job. Okay. So you're I don't get your point.
Well, the other big issue that's going to be hard to address is that the Build Back Better plan and slogan has been, you know, it's out there by the Canadian Prime Minister. He's talking about Build Back Better.
So you have a problem with semantics. You have a problem with the the stupid name of the bill. I have a problem with that, too. Democrats need to do a better job of messaging. But what's your problem? Yeah. What problem do you have with the things that are in the bill, which we've talked about ad nauseum here? What?
Yes, ma'am. That's what I'm getting to. So the Build Back Better agenda is a Klaus Schwab World Economic Forum agenda.
Is a what?
Talked about by 20.
A what?
Have you ever heard of the World Economic Forum? Have you ever heard of Klaus Schwab?
Klaus Schwab? I have not heard of Klaus Schwab. I've heard of the World Economic Forum. I don't know what Klaus Schwab is. And I'm not going to let you just come on here and throw out bullshit allegations that mean nothing.
There's nothing bullshit about
Bye,
it.
Anonymous. Thanks for calling. So nice to talk to you. So this is a troll who decided to be, you know, call right off the bat. Gee, I wonder how he got that idea. I'm sure he's a regular listener. Chris from Texas. Yeah, right. If somebody wants to legitimately call in and talk about what's in the bill, I'm happy to. But don't throw out the something Schwab agenda from the World Economic Forum. That's bullshit. You want to talk about universal pre-K. You want to talk about lowering prescription drug costs. You want to talk about the definite specifics that are in the bill? Bring it on. That's all I've been talking about. I'm happy to go there again. I actually have an 8-minute long Bernie Sanders video that I could play. It's just 8 minutes is a long time to play it, but I can if you really want to hear what's in it. Yes, the Democrats are doing a lousy job at messaging. Welcome to the Democratic Party. It's something I complain about all the time. But that's no reason to, you know, to say, don't do it. Idiot. I have no patience for morons like that. You know, I hear you guys calling into all the other shows, to Randy Rhodes and to Tom Hartman, and they're both, you know, if I get somebody who wants to challenge me, put him to the front of the line. Well, I don't have a screener. I don't screen my calls. You want to call in, you get through. But if you start with that bullshit, I'm going to hang up on you. So, you know, go for it. If you really want to waste my time, you got nothing better to do? Maybe you should read what's in the bill. Maybe try to help some other people. It might do wonders for your demeanor. Chris in Texas. Anyway, he's calling back. Yeah, sorry, I don't do that. Bye. You get one call a day. Not going to let him back on again. Not going to let a troll hijack the show. So I'd rather do nothing than listen to that kind of nonsense again. Sorry, you don't get to do that here because it's my show. So, Chris from Texas, bullshit. You know what? Chris, I got a little song for you. Why not? Okay, so here's the thing. Here's what I want to share. So I started to tell you about, I read all of these newsletters every morning. And, you know, I take some with a bigger grain of salt than others. But there was something, you know, and Politico, believe me, is not one of my top reference places. I don't trust Politico very much. But occasionally, their playbook that comes out early in the morning, it usually comes out around 6, 6:30 or so, occasionally gets things right. Oh, this fucking anonymous guy keeps calling. Give it up, buddy. I'm not taking your call again. But let me read to you what was in the playbook yesterday, because I found this fascinating, because this was information about the negotiations that we hadn't gotten yet. So here's what they wrote yesterday. So what's the state of negotiations between the White House and Manchinima? Well, they say Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, but I combine the two because it's easier. And it sounds like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema need an enema, which they do. All right. Enough of that cleverness. Let me read what they wrote. It says, the talks have been shrouded in mystery, but we have some fresh details we can share this morning. More is known about Manchin than Sinema, and for a good reason. While Manchin has been willing to discuss his priorities in detail with his colleagues in the Senate, Sinema only negotiates with the White House. She told one Democratic senator recently, quote, I'm not going to share with you or Schumer or with Pelosi. I have already told the White House what I'm willing to do and what I'm not willing to do. I'm not mysterious. It's not that I can't make up my mind. I communicated it to them in detail. They just don't like what they're hearing. End quote. Politico continues, part of solving the Manchinima puzzle is that the 74-year-old former governor from a coal state and the 45-year-old former Green Party activist from Arizona are at odds on some major policies. Quote, Manchin and Sinema want very different things, both in terms of revenue and programs, said a source close to Biden who spent the last few days talking to senior White House officials. Quote, if you just took their currently presented red lines, you wouldn't have enough left to get this past progressives in the House and Senate. It wouldn't raise enough money. And it wouldn't do enough big programs. The biggest obstacle Sinema has created, according to Democrats, is on prescription drug pricing reform. The most robust version of this plan to allow Medicare to negotiate drug prices would bring in some $800 billion of revenue at the expense of the pharmaceutical industry. It's one of the most popular policies on the Democrats' menu of options, and many party strategists believe Democrats owe their House majority to this issue. That's true. Negotiating prescription drug prices? Putting us in line with the rest of the world, you think? Okay, back to Politico. But we're told the Democrats would be lucky if they managed to convince Sinema to support a version of drug pricing reform that raises even $200 billion. That's not enough to fund the expansion of Medicare benefits that Senator Bernie Sanders wants, or the expansion of the Affordable Care Act that Speaker Pelosi wants. Manchin is much more willing to support a broader version of drug pricing reform. Yeah, well, he should be, because his daughter was one of the price gougers. Remember that? All right. Back to Politico. But he's also insisting on including his own pet plan to tax prescription opioids, a tax vehemently opposed by Sinema's allies at Pharma, and one that would dilute the Democrats' prescription drug pricing plan. So far, the White House has not been able to convince Manchin to drop his opioid tax idea. It continues. It gets worse. The two senators are similarly at odds over climate policy. Manchin opposes several Democratic ideas to price carbon pollution, while Sinema favors them. And here's where Manchin is really driving his colleagues crazy. There are tens of thousands of coal jobs in West Virginia that are going to disappear as the economy transitions to clean energy. But when the Democrats have proposed expensive programs to subsidize those workers' income as they find new jobs, Manchin, we're told, quote, rejected it out of hand, calling the idea welfare. Oh, God, we are so screwed. And not in a good way. So it ends, this piece says, so, like, where the hell is the overlap, the source close to Biden, instead of the maddening policy gap between the two that they describe centrists? How do you land that? You see, it's not like Manchinima is a combined force that's objecting to certain provisions in the bill. They each have dueling problems with it. And if you're wondering, you know, my question is, with all of this going on, they should be in session and debating this and figuring it out, right? Nah, they're on recess this week. Yes, the House came back on Tuesday to vote for the temporary raising of the debt ceiling. And then they left again. So they left again. Why? We're at a catastrophic point. Everything could fall apart. And they're on recess. And Kyrsten Sinema, you know where she is? She's on a fundraising trip to Europe. Europe! What the fuck is she doing in Europe? You know, there's new polling out. There's new information from Arizona that says she will lose right now. Is this off time? The guy in the chat room. Joy. Oh, okay, where are my EC moderators in the YouTube chat room? Can you please? I'll remove him. You can ban off time because that is. That's this anonymous caller. Now he's spamming the chat room. So ban him. I just removed him, but you can ban him. Yes. Yeah, so Kyrsten Sinema is in Europe on a fundraising trip. I don't think foreigners are supposed to be donating money to political campaigns here. So anyway, that's what's going on, and it's pretty sickening. It's beyond. And so I'm just over it. Yes, I do spend a lot of time talking about what's in the bill, because there's a lot. And like I said to the troll, no, Joe Biden is not the best orator. He's not the best explainer of things. He is the president. He's the one who's going to have to sign the bill. But I'd rather hear from the people who are actively like writing and working on it. Honestly, they know more than he does. They're in a better position. My God, you wouldn't have Donald Trump explain anything, would you? Not that I'm equating Biden to Trump. God forbid. But no, there's a whole lot in that bill. And I guess, you know, maybe we do need to hear from Bernie. The best spokesman on what's in it. What?
If I answer on your iPad, will it interrupt your show?
No, you can answer on my iPad. Yeah, you can tell him to fuck off. Yeah, go ahead. Because this, you know, my iPad is out in the living room because I use it to do artwork. And my phone rings on the iPad, too. So David's pissed because he's trying to work in the other room. And this moron keeps calling. So, yeah, David can pick up the line on the iPad. It won't affect anything in here. And that would be a good thing. All right, you want to hear a little bit of what's in the bill? We can go to Bernie. Why not? It's always good to hear from Bernie Sanders, right? So let's let Bernie. I was going to tell you about another thing, but I'll wait on that. Since our troll is so insistent to find out what's in the bill, well, Bernie Sanders is a perfect person to tell us. So let's bring up the volume a little bit here.
Owning more wealth than the entire middle class.
Yeah.
So in America, you got tens of millions of people.
Yeah.
Whose problems have long been neglected by Congress and by presidents.
True.
While the very rich get richer.
Yeah.
And what we are finally saying is we're not going to ignore those problems anymore.
Thank you, Bernie.
That now is the time
for
us to stand up for the working class of this country and tell the billionaires that they're going to have to start paying their fair share of taxes.
Yes, please.
What we are talking about is not simply a laundry list, a wish list. It is the needs of the American people.
Yeah.
We will no longer continue to have the highest rate of childhood poverty of almost any major country on earth.
Yeah.
And that's why with the American Rescue Plan and those $300 direct payments, We have cut childhood poverty in America in half, and we ain't going back.
Thank you.
We want to further reduce childhood poverty in this country. And if we don't pass the Build Back America plan, poverty for kids will go up. We have a dysfunctional child care system where working families are paying 20, 30% of their limited incomes for child care.
Yep.
Workers are paid starvation wages, and millions of women are unable to go to work because they can't afford child care. That is absurd.
It is absurd.
We are going to make sure that no family in America pays more than 7% of their incomes for child care. We're going to make pre-K universal and free.
Thank you, Bernie.
We're going to deal with the affordable housing crisis, which we are tired of seeing half a million people in this country homeless, sleeping out on the streets.
We're tired
of 18 million households paying 50% or more of their limited incomes for housing. We're going to deal with climate because we know we have the moral responsibility to address that so that the planet we leave for our kids and grandchildren is healthy and habitable. Yeah, we do have the guts to take on the fossil fuel industry and
we
transform our energy system away
and
from
Chris
fossil
from
fuel.
Texas is listening.
Energy efficiency
he just
and
hung
sustainable
up.
Energy. We're going to deal with the home health care crisis.
Okay.
Two issues that I want to spend a minute on.
Please.
Deal with health care.
Good. We need
Pramila and I know all of you understand that it is totally unacceptable that we are the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to every man, woman, and child as a human right. And the result of that is we've got 90 million people today who are uninsured or underinsured. We got tens of thousands of people who die each and every year because they can't get to a doctor on time or get the prescription drugs that they need. This cannot and must not be allowed to happen in the wealthiest country on earth. So we are fighting for a Medicare for All single payer program, but we don't have the support in the Congress right now to do that. That support among the American people is growing, but we're not there. But at the very least, what we are going to do in terms of healthcare, two major things. Number one, we're going to finally take on the greed and thievery of the pharmaceutical industry who charge us the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs. Some of you may recall that a couple of years ago, I took a trip with folks from the Midwest into Canada.
Yeah.
And I went there not to do sightseeing, but we went there to buy prescription drugs, and we purchased insulin manufactured by the same exact company, sold in the United States for 10 times more than we paid in Canada. 10 times more. Meanwhile, last year, the six major drug companies made $50 billion in profit. Their CEOs receive huge, exorbitant compensation packages. And yet one out of four Americans cannot afford the medicine.
Isn't that horrible? Just sickening.
So we are going to take on the pharmaceutical industry and their greed and their dishonesty and the hundreds of millions of dollars. It's true. Hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars they are spending to defeat the Build Back America plan and our determination to lower the cost of prescription drugs.
Yep.
And the other thing that we are going to do in terms of healthcare, terribly important to the American people, is to expand Medicare to cover dental care, hearing aids, and eyeglasses.
You know what? Hold on. I'm gonna pause Bernie for just a second because we have a regular who listens on the NicoleSandler.com Listen Live page, Cynthia, who's always in that chat room, and she just she got hit with a dental bill that is tens of thousands of dollars that Medicare does not cover. It's wrong. It should be covered. So what he's talking about here is very, very important. And I, you know, Chris from Texas, that's his real name, I'm sure, has kept calling for this whole time. And I keep punching the call in, so he's on hold and hearing what's going out over the air. So now he's finally stopped calling, and maybe because Bernie answered his question. Keep listening, Chris.
Many, many millions of seniors who have no teeth in their mouths or become sick because they cannot adequately digest their food. That is not acceptable.
Not acceptable.
We cannot continue to have God knows how many seniors who are unable to communicate and listen to their grandchildren or their friends because they can't afford the outrageous cost of hearing aids. And people cannot read newspapers because they can't afford eyeglasses. And that is why, as we continue the fight for a Medicare for All single-payer system, at least now, we have got to guarantee that Medicare cover dental care, eyeglasses, and hearing aids.
Yes, please.
So here we are at a moment.
Here we are.
When the ruling class of this country, the big money interests, I'm talking about the drug companies, I'm talking about the insurance companies, I'm talking about the fossil fuel industry, we're talking about the billionaires who don't want to pay their fair share of taxes. They are spending ungodly amounts of money to try to defeat what we are doing.
Yep.
But the truth of the matter is, as you have heard from Pramila and Maurice and others, the overwhelming majority of the American people are on our side. They are sick and tired of Washington catering to the needs of the rich and the powerful and campaign contributors. They want us to stand up for them. So that is where we are.
That's where we are.
We are in a moment where if we stand strong, we can bring forth transformative change.
Transformative
change. To improve the lives
change.
Of working families, Black and white and Latino, Native American, Asian American. We can restore the faith of the American people that their government can work for them and not just the well-connected. So I want to thank all of you at the grassroots level.
No, Bernie, thank you.
For all that you are doing.
Bernie,
and we've got to continue the fight. We can win this thing.
We can.
Transform America and restore faith in democracy.
We absolutely can. We absolutely can. You know, what it's coming down to are just a few obstructionists who, frankly, obviously don't love America because they don't want things to get better here. That God forbid they do something to help the people who have the least among us. And that's what this is about. You know, they're bitching about the debt ceiling. Well, this debt ceiling raise has nothing to do with the stuff in the Build Back Better plan. Nothing to do with the money that's being spent right now. This is merely a promise that the U.S. government will pay the bills for the spending that Congress already authorized. And included in that, $7 trillion that the former guy added to the deficit. And that's the debt ceiling they won't raise. They won't raise it to cover his spending. That includes a ridiculous $2 trillion tax giveaway to the wealthiest among us. You know, I was just talking to David. Weren't we supposed to be able to do our taxes on a postcard-sized card? Right? Wasn't that part of the $2 trillion tax giveaway to the billionaires? It was supposed to be a no-brainer. You can do your taxes on an index card-sized piece of paper. Right? Remember, they held up the postcards. Trump called it beautiful. Whatever happened with that? Because if I want to do my, you know, taxes, I have to hire an accountant because I can't do the number thing. Sorry, my brain doesn't work that way. So, you know, the hypocrisy is just deafening. So there you go. Kimchi, thank you so much for a nice donation in the YouTube chat room. All right. Well, you know, I was going to tell you about my concert dilemma, but I may save it for Howie because, you know, Howie and I have a joint background with the music industry. And I'm curious to hear what he thinks about what I stumbled upon today. So, you know what? Let's not waste any time. Yeah, we're a minute early. That's all right. Let's go there. Who, by the way, who's mixing up the Dirty Debbies today? Because I could use an extra shot in mine, just saying. Could be the Moderna shot. Hey, that deserves a this. All right. But now we'll do this.
When Nicole Sandler
Oops, that's
sits
the wrong one. Nope. Let's do this.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's.
Oh, no.
Where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're going to love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Hey, Howie Klein. Hold on. I got to turn your speakers up again. Hey, Howie.
Hi, Nicole.
How are you?
Oh, that's much better. While I was on hold, all I could hear was like horrible, horrible static.
Oh, no, no. It was because I had to mute. Everything's kind of screwed up because I have a troll who keeps trying to call in. So he comes in on the same pot you're in, and I had to pot it down. But we're all good now. Hi.
Hi. Was it anyone I know, the troll?
No. He says his name is Chris from Texas. And, you know, this is what they do. They call the progressive talk shows. And you know, he started in with, why isn't Joe Biden talking about what's in the Build Back Better bill? And you know, throwing out nonsense stuff. He doesn't want to know what's in the bill. Because I just then, to answer him, I played the video of Bernie Sanders that you posted on a blog post today at DownWithTyranny.com. It was about an 8-minute long piece that he did that was beamed out on the interwebs, because Bernie's doing a great job of explaining exactly what's in that plan and why we need all of it.
Yep.
But this,
and by the way, so is Pramila.
So is Pramila Jayapal. She's awesome. I just really, really, really like her.
Don't you think she should be the next speaker?
Yes. Oh, yes.
I mean, you know, Pelosi has her heart set on identity politics.
Right.
I can't remember. Oh, Hakeem Jeffries.
Hakeem Jeffries, yes.
When do you ever hear him say anything about anything?
Nothing. In fact, you know what he did? He teamed up with Josh Gottheimer for a pack.
Yeah.
Josh Gottheimer, he's the guy who put up the hold. He got a group of centrist, and I hate that word, conservadems together in the House to go against the plan, to go against the president's agenda. That's who Hakeem Jeffries is working with?
Well, it's worse than that, because what he and Gottheimer are doing, they put together a pack to help elect conservative Democrats who can't raise any grassroots money because of their policies. So that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to save the seats of conservative Democrats who no one likes.
Oh, my God.
This is the character that Pelosi wants to be speaker when she leaves next
and
year.
And is that set in stone? I mean, does it have to be?
She can't pick the speaker.
Right.
But, you know, unless someone runs against him, then, and these people are cowards. They don't want to run against him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's see if a progressive runs this time. And by the way, I am trying to talk Pramila into it. She isn't saying yes. She isn't saying no. She's being very grateful that I would suggest it. She's really being nice.
Wow.
But she's not saying yes, I'll do it.
She's,
which is what I'd like to hear her say.
You know, one of the reasons I like her so much is that she's just a straight shooter. You know, when she talks, you're not getting political doublespeak. You're getting the real deal. She's just real.
Absolutely.
I love her.
When I first met her, she was a state senator in Washington, representing part of Seattle.
Right.
And that's what she was like then. She's a real negotiator. She knows how to make something work. Now, you know, Nancy's is pretty good at that too. But Pramila is a different kettle of fish. But an excellent, excellent. She would make such a good speaker. I mean, when I see the people who get mentioned, I think, oh my God, how awful.
Yeah.
I mean, what does Hakeem Jeffries even
Nothing.
Know? Nothing. How to like get money out of lobbyists?
Oh my God.
He knows. All he's ever done in his career. That's it.
Let me play something for you. I pulled this a couple of days ago. Pramila Jayapal sat down with the Associated Press and did an interview. And here's a little bit of her talking about the standoff, what's happening with the negotiations over this legislation.
96% of Democrats in the House and the Senate agree with the president and with 70% of the American people that the programs that are in the Build Back Better Act are the programs we should deliver. They're what we promised. They want them, and we should deliver them. I think the challenging thing has been we haven't known what it is they want to cut. Do they want to cut childcare? Do they want to cut action on climate change? Do they want to cut housing, pre-K? What is it?
What are they going to cut?
And so that is the negotiation that has finally started happening over the last week.
So the president has said that it will likely be a compromise. The number will likely land between $1.9 to $2.3 trillion. Is that a number that you and your caucus can live with?
Well, as I said to the president, that is too low, in my opinion, to try to get all of these programs in. So I've expressed concern about that. I'm not drawing any red lines until I see what the final package is, because it's really not about the number. It's about what programs are in there. You could have a number that was much higher, but it cuts out several of the key programs. We would not be for that. You could have a number that's slightly lower than that, but it keeps all of our programs. It just funds them for a shorter period of time. We could live with that. So that's what we're waiting for. For us, the most important thing for the Progressive Caucus is we identified five key priorities for the caucus. It includes the care economy, includes housing, includes immigration, includes health care, particularly expanding Medicare, and it includes climate change. Those five priorities, and we have some specificity, should all be contained in whatever the final bill is. And we would rather trim back the number of years, if we have to come down slightly, than cut a program.
And Congresswoman, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about
that's enough of that. So Howie, the thing that, you know, she spelled it all out there in less than 2 minutes. That was pretty easy to understand.
And that's exactly what we've been talking about, they'll have to, you know, if, for example, when it comes to the making drugs cost less,
So
Medicare is going to negotiate with the pharmaceutical companies just like every other country does.
In the world, right.
And the cost of drugs will go down significantly. Okay, and they'll instead of doing it for 10 years, they'll have it for 5 years.
Right.
5 years comes along, and what are the Republicans and the conservative Democrats do in 5 years? Are they going to take that away from people?
Yeah, exactly.
Your drugs are going to go up 10 times now?
That's right.
How about, child care, universal child care? Or in 5 years, they're going to come along
take
and
take it away.
Oh, forget it. We're not doing that. You can't work anymore. Your kids can't be in this program. You know, the thing is, Pramila is doing exactly the right thing. That's the right way to go. Now, I don't know if you saw this. It just happened a few minutes ago. I think it was just a few minutes ago. At least I found out about it a few minutes ago. But Sinema called Gottheimer and got together with a couple of other of the most diehard anti Build Back Better Democrats in the House, and she said, "Don't worry, I am not going to vote for anything until the infrastructure bill passes."
Oh my God!
In effect, she's killing the whole package by herself. And I have said before, still before people knew who the hell she was, you know, now she's well known. This is what she wanted. She wanted everyone to know her. Even though they know her as a cartoon character villain, no one knew her before. Now everyone in the country knows her.
Wow.
She is so hated. So hated. I was looking at the new polling from
Arizona. It's ugly.
Among Democrats, she could never win a primary now.
She will not win a primary.
But anyway, what she said to Gottheimer and his pals was that she won't vote for anything until after the hard so-called bipartisan, all conservative infrastructure bill passes. So what that does, once that passes, then
there's no leverage.
She and her cronies, both in the House and the Senate, they can just say no.
Yes.
So we got what we wanted. Goodbye.
Of course. That's why they're tied together. That's why the Progressive Caucus is holding to that original deal that they made. It was a deal struck among the Democrats, but I guess Kyrsten Sinema is not a Democrat.
Right. And the thing is, what they could do is attach the two bills so they get voted on same minute.
Yep. That's what they should do. Yes. That's what they should have done from the beginning.
And others want to be able to say, look, this is a bipartisan bill, and we got the Republicans to vote for it, which actually did. The Republicans, they had the 10 or so Republicans vote for it. But if it gets attached in reconciliation, those people will not vote for it again.
Right.
They don't need them to vote for it again. As long as they've got every Democrat, they don't need the Republicans. But Biden wants to be able to say it's bipartisan.
Right. Well, here's the thing. And I have a new name for Kyrsten Sinema going from, who is it in the chat room? Somebody is calling her Sin Enema. I'm just going to call her Enema. So when, Enema, unfortunately, is not up for a re-election until 2024. So if she holds this line through the next election, we're screwed. Because if the Democrats can't get this done, people aren't going to vote for, they're not going to vote. We're fucked. We're just fucked and not in a good way.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Because what you were going to say is people in the Democratic base won't turn out.
There'll be
many people who don't turn out because their perspective will be, we gave the Democrats the House, the Senate, and the White House.
Right. Why bother?
On these promises, and now they're not fulfilling the promises.
Yep. That's it. And so, it's amazing that this one person, there's two.
One, remember,
because
we also have
there's Manchin.
Joe Manchin.
Right, so these
now,
two
worse
people.
Than Manchin,
yes.
But they are both a problem.
I was just reading from the Politico playbook from yesterday, and I did a disclaimer first. I don't necessarily go to Politico for much. But yesterday morning in their playbook, they had a great sort of here's where we are on what Manchin and Sinema are both saying. Miss Enema is saying that, she's not negotiating with anybody. She's telling the White House what she wants,
right,
and that's the only person she'll talk to. Well, you know what, Kyrsten Sinema? Yeah, so fuck her. I'm sorry. I'm just so over this. And Bernie said it the other day. One person or two people should not be able to hold the rest, the 48 senators hostage. It's one thing if it was split 50-50, they'd have to negotiate. But this is two of them among 50. They should not have that power to do this.
Well, what they say is something very different. They say, no, Bernie's got it wrong. We're 52. He's 48.
Oh, so what? So then they're just Republicans. So why don't they just be Republicans already? If they're going to act like that, if they're going to derail everything that ostensibly their party is trying to do, then why are they with the Democrats?
Hey, if the Democrats push them too hard, even Bernie, but certainly if Schumer pushes and Biden pushes them too hard,
yep,
either one of them could in one second join the GOP.
They could anyway.
And send it to a Republican.
I know.
Mitch McConnell is the leader, and he can, not even bringing up these things.
I know.
Not bringing up any of Biden's nominations. I mean, it's all over at that point. So they have a stranglehold right now. There isn't really much that Biden can do. The one thing that Biden can do, and which will work on one of them, and it's bribing them. And bribing them will work on on Manchin. That's what
right.
he wants ultimately is, he wants, goodies for his state, for his family. That's the kind of thing he wants. With Sinema, there's nothing you can do with her. Like I've been saying from day one, she is a crazy person. I know her. I've known her for a decade. She's insane. You think Trump is a sociopath?
Yeah.
She's exactly the same as Trump. She's a narcissistic sociopath. And that's it. You can't deal with people like that. It's all about her. It's always been all about her. Her entire career has always been about her. Nothing, all that bullshit about her being a green and
yeah.
her being
what the hell was that about?
She's always been one thing, a
crazy.
Feminist.
Right.
That's it.
I'm sorry, I cut you off. A what?
An enemist.
An enemist.
I said, been a cinemist. She hasn't been anything
gotcha.
Except
an enemist.
For herself. Every everything else was just bullshit.
Gotcha.
She doesn't stand for anything. She stands for her. She's looking for attention. She's just crazy. She's a complete insane person.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I've told you before that when I was at I used to be on a board with her, and whenever we had meetings after the first year of knowing her, when I got to understand what she's all about, I would never sit anywhere in her eyesight because I always felt that she was going to pull out a gun from that designer purse of hers and just shoot everybody. And I wanted to not be in the line of fire.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I believe it. I'm talking about a dozen years ago, way, way before she was in Congress. And she was a lunatic. I realized this is a sick, crazy person. And I told the other members of the board, what the hell are we doing with this insane person? And no, they didn't see it. I mean, people thought I shouldn't say they didn't see it. Some of them saw it. Most of them didn't see it. Some of the other people that she was part of a kind of youthful organization at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Other people who were in that organization as well, who had to work with her on a day-to-day basis, they told me the same thing. Yes, out of her mind, completely about herself, worst person that's ever come across, that any of them had ever come across. She is the worst person. You can't imagine how bad and dangerous she is.
Oh, we're seeing it every day. And this is the fact. First of all, she's in Europe doing fundraising. I just can't even grok that. And now you said she calls Josh Gottheimer from Europe to say, let's form a coalition to.
Well, they formed a coalition already.
Oh, God.
The whole thing with the date certain thing, that was her idea from the beginning. So in other words, Gottheimer took credit for it, but it was her telling him to do it.
Oh, my God. A question for you from Joy in the chat room. She wants to know, can the other members of the Senate censure her? But I don't think she did anything. I mean, we think what she's doing is heinous, but technically, she's allowed to do that. I don't think she's done anything that can be censured for.
No, but I think Joy, if it's the same Joy, just censured me for calling her I called her some name on Twitter.
Oh, really? No, I don't think it's the same Joy. I don't know if Joy's on Twitter, but I don't.
She did it in a humorous way.
Oh, I don't know. I have a feeling it's not the same Joy, but I could be wrong. But I don't think it's her. Anyway, we are at an impasse. You know, I keep invoking LBJ. Because he would get this done. He would figure out a way to get this done.
Well, he might. I mean, he didn't have... There's never been someone like Kyrsten Sinema in the U.S. Senate. It's insane that she's in the U.S. Senate. You know what's more insane? That Chuck Schumer picked her out...
Is responsible for this.
...and put her in there. I mean, here she is, the head of the Blue Dogs, completely hated by her colleagues, in her Democratic colleagues in the House. She's the head of the Blue Dogs, hated by all of her colleagues, and has the single worst voting record in the House.
Unbelievable.
And he's looking for somebody to run for an open seat in Arizona, and he finds her. There were other people who were much better. I mean, you saw that list today of Democrats in Arizona. Every one of them is liked more than her. Every head-to-head matchup that was done, not just Ruben Gallego, but other people who I don't even know. Every one of them beat her in a primary, if there was a primary.
Right.
Now.
Right. That's the thing.
You know, yet Schumer wanted her. What the hell is wrong with him? Democrats want to censure somebody? It should be him.
Him. Has anybody asked him this?
He does it constantly, and he always gets it wrong.
Right.
He always picks shitty candidates. So most of them lose. Almost all his candidates lose. But when he gets one that wins, it's her.
Right. Right. No, it makes no sense. And I'm wondering, has anybody in the press asked Chuck Schumer, you picked her, you handpicked her. What's up?
He'll never admit that. He'll say, that's, some crazy person on the internet says that. It's not true.
Yep. Oh, I got to tell you.
I remember very, very intimately how not only did he pick her, but he had to do it sub rosa because they didn't want to, she didn't want, to be identified with the Democratic establishment. She wanted to be kind of independent, so they did it quietly. But then he called all the other prospective candidates and he said, forget it, the race is over, she's our candidate, and he cleared the field for her. That's what he does. He did the same exact thing at the same time in North Carolina, where he comes up with this another crazy, insane person who he realized was crazy after it was too late, and that was Cal Cunningham. So he just – all he knew, all Schumer knew was two horrible things in his mind. One, Erica Smith was outpolling Cal Cunningham by a landslide. She was definitely going to win the primary. And two, Erica Smith is a progressive. Schumer hates progressives. So what he wanted was a vanilla white man with no real views who will just do whatever he says. So he picks this guy, Cal Cunningham, at the same time that he picks Sinema. And eventually he had a pull support for Cunningham at the end of the campaign, saying that he can't keep his pecker in his or he can't keep his zipper up.
Oh, my God. You know, somebody said to me, as you know, after Biden was in and it looked like they were getting her doing stuff, said, oh, you're going to have to change that intro, the Chucky Schmucky intro. No, we don't, because this ultimately falls on him. This is Kyrsten Sinema was his personal handpicked choice to be the next senator from Arizona, to be the candidate.
All of
to be the Democrat.
Handpicked choices lost last year. They all lost. There were a bunch of terrible candidates. You know, there were a couple who actually didn't lose, but they were bad as well. So even when he wins, he's got bad. We wind up with something like her, who is just as bad as losing.
Yeah. Right. You know, I was looking for something and I actually stumbled onto something else. And of course, now I can't find it again. Here, it's got to be here. Okay. So a message from listener Brian, who writes, I've been listening to you today. I'm retired. I'm sort of lucky that I have dual coverage of Medicare and Medicaid. I had some dental care on my policy, but I didn't have enough dental benefits. I'd gone to the dentist in August. I need to have 5 more teeth out and need partial dentures and some gum work. The bill is going to cost $4,200, and I only have about $1,000. I can't really afford this right now. I'm so annoyed with the crooked politics. And then he says, then on TV, all they're interested is William Shatner going to outer space at 90 years old with Jeff Bezos funding some of that, while people on Medicare can't pay for the drugs that they need. We're suffering so much up the rear end over all this. I sympathize. The billionaire space race is sickening. Watching, and it went on today too. It was bad enough that it was all day yesterday. All they could talk about is this penis-shaped rocket going up and then coming down. It's like a glorified amusement park ride. You know, the thing where you go up in the chair and then you drop? That's what it reminds me of. But it costs billions of dollars and they're all creaming themselves over these fucking billionaires blowing all this money on going to space. And this didn't even go to space.
And yes, that's right. You remember that plane? I used to fly it from L.A. to London.
The Concorde.
The Concorde, yes. So it's not that I could fly it personally, but because of my company, I used to go to Europe on the Concorde. That way I could just go right into a meeting. I wasn't all jet-lagged and everything. But that's basically
what they're doing.
That's what it is. That's what this is.
But they're going straight up instead of across.
Yeah. It's a little bit higher than the Concorde flew, but only for 3 minutes. So it's the same as the Concorde, and then for 3 minutes they go a tiny bit higher, and they all get weightless and float around, and then they go back down again.
Fucking deal. Do you remember I used to work with Mark and Brian? And when I worked with them, they had a TV show on NBC for one season called The Adventures of Mark and Brian. One of the things they did was train at NASA, and they went in, I forget what they called it, like the Vomit Comet or something, where you'd go weightless. They would go whatever they had to do, go fast enough or high enough where you flew around in the plane weightless. They could do it without spending billions of dollars on a penis-shaped rocket to send up for 3 minutes and then come back down.
Yep.
But the media...
And why is this happening? Is because these billionaires aren't being taxed.
Hello?
And they're not paying their fair share.
Yep.
And that's part of this Build Back Better Act, is to make these people pay their fair share. And, you know, the American people, including Republicans, overwhelmingly support that. But that's what's really behind people, all these conservatives, like someone like Gottheimer, someone like Sinema, someone like Manchin, someone like Kurt Schrader. These people are that, more than anything in the bill, any of the programs, this is what they're really against, is trying to force these very, very rich people to pay their fair share. That's what they're against. But you think you'll ever hear that from them? You think any of them will ever say that? You think Josh Gottheimer will say, I'm going to keep tax rates low for people who have over $1 billion?
Of course not.
No, of course no one will say that. But that's really what it's about.
Right. Right. Yeah. So
I mean, who would be against, other than Schrader, who's one of the Pfizer heirs, but other than Schrader, who would be against Americans paying the same as people in other countries for drugs?
Kyrsten Sinema, apparently.
I'm sure I've said this before on this show. I have to go to other countries to buy my drugs, buy my medicine. I literally go to Thailand or Turkey or France, Mexico. I have to go somewhere else to buy my drugs because they're 10 times more expensive here. 10 times.
Oh, I believe it. Well, you know, I suffer from restless leg syndrome. It sounds, you know, people joke about it, but it's anything but funny. The patches,
drug for that.
The patches that I use, the cost, if I didn't have insurance and if the manufacturer didn't give me their, you know, their super saver special, you know, discount rate, it was $880 for a month's supply of these fucking patches.
What? There's something called Neurontin. Ever hear of that?
Yes, and that's gabapentin, I believe.
Gabapentin, that's
right. It doesn't
that
work for
that,
nope.
I mean, I don't know that
doesn't.
It helps everybody.
Doesn't work for me.
A friend of mine who I take it for neuropathy.
For neuropathy, right. And I had it for neuropathy when I had with my surgery for the lung cancer, but I was prescribed it long before that for restless legs. It does nothing for my restless legs. I have a really stubborn case.
Because Roland has restless leg syndrome too. And I gave him some of this and he doesn't have it anymore.
Oh, I wish.
Restless leg syndrome literally went away in 2 weeks.
Oh, I wish. You know what killed the restless leg syndromes for me? Opioids, which no one will prescribe. Not that I want to take them, but that's when I was, after my surgery, when I was taking those pills for the pain, I had no restless leg problems. And I thought, oh shit, maybe it was related to the lung cancer. Well, no, because the minute I got off of them, the symptoms came back. Nothing helps me. The patches that I use are, they're called Nupro, and it's a Parkinson's medication. But even they, you know, I go in waves, and there are times when I'm maxed out on those, and I take this other Sinemet stuff, Sinemet, another medication together. And there are times when nothing works at all, and then I just don't sleep. So it really sucks.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's really bad. So, no, I know about gabapentin. It doesn't work for me. So, but those patches, $880. If, you know, and I pay less than that because I do the thing with the manufacturer and the insurance company. And right now I have it down to 10, which is shocking. But there are some months when I have to pay $65, $80, whatever. There's no rhyme or reason there. It's just criminal.
Wow, I didn't know that manufacturers would give you that kind of a break.
Well, they don't, because my insurance company, with the insurance, my cost is $168. And then the manufacturer's discount thing brings it down to 10. Go figure.
Yeah, and what makes the manufacturer do something like that?
I have no idea.
How do you talk them into it?
You have to jump through hoops. You have to fill out the forms. You have to get your doctor to say things. You have to, you know, plead poverty, which is easy for me. I don't know, but I was able to do it. And I've been on this medication for years now. I tried to get off it a couple of months ago. Couldn't do it because there's other pills. There's Requip and Mirapex. They make me nauseous. They make me really sick and really tired. So I couldn't tolerate them. So I had to go back on the patches. It's, you know, this is the shit that we go through to try to have a normal life, where if you live in another country, they're not gouged like this by the pharmaceuticals, because I guess the government gets involved and says, no, our people are not going to pay those prices.
But right. Oh, absolutely. Every other country. That's how they do it. So you don't travel much internationally, right?
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't travel anywhere now.
Next time I go, which I don't know when that's going to be, but, you know, next time I do go to Europe, remind me, and I'll see if I can buy some patches for you.
Oh, that'd be great. You know, someone else, MJ333 in the chat room said, I found Kratom, and it works. It's awful, but RLS is worse. I have Kratom. I've tried it. I've tried everything, I promise you. There are some strains of marijuana that help, but you can't just go and say, I want that strain. And most of them don't work on me. So it just is awful.
Huh.
Yeah. Welcome to my world. Oh, anyway, we're at the end of the hour. So we'll say goodbye to the Progressive Voices Network. But Howie, I got to ask you about something else before we go. And that is, I had a little dilemma, a concert dilemma. Now, you know, I have not really left the house since COVID. I mean, I go out, now I venture out to the beach, but I stay away from everyone. I haven't gone to a concert in almost 2 years, and I'm a music person. Not seeing live music is a sacrifice. So, I know you're not a Todd Rundgren fan, but before COVID, I had tickets to see Rundgren, and he's doing like a kind of a greatest hits tour. So, it's like, this is the way to see him. So, I had tickets. Of course, the tour was canceled. That was supposed to be last June. Now he's rescheduled. And he rescheduled back in like January or February. And the show is in October. And I thought, oh, by October, we'll be home free. I mean, we'll have the vaccine and everything. It was pre-Delta, right? So I got tickets again. Now the show is coming up a week from Saturday. And I, you know, even though this venue in Miami Beach demands COVID vaccinations or a test within 72 hours, I still don't feel comfortable, right? But, you know.
Is it indoors or outdoors?
It's indoors. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so I thought, all right, well, let me see. And so I went online and I saw somebody posted, you know, the tour has started. Somebody posted some videos from the last two nights in Pittsburgh. And I listened to one of my favorite songs is Love of the Common Man. And I listened to it. And oh, my. Isn't that a great song? It's a fucking amazing song, but he just his voice was shot, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to remember. I've only seen Todd Rundgren live once, and it was like in 77 or 78, and when he
that was him.
Yes, and so I don't
perform at the right time. Why bother now?
Exactly, and I don't want that to be my memory of him, because obviously this will be, he's 73 years old. Come on, we're all getting up there. I don't think he's going to be doing this much longer, and certainly he's not going to do a greatest hits thing again, because that's not what he likes doing. So, but then I had a back and forth with the guy who posted the video, who happens to be a listener, which shocked me.
Wow.
But right, and he said that was the bad night. He apologized for his voice. Listened to the night before. He sounds much better. So in the meantime, I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to try to get a refund. Not that they're going to refund it. But then I look to see, you know, it's my birthday is right around there. So we want to do something. I want to do something. James Taylor and Jackson Browne are coming. And I love both of them. You know, I'm a wimp when it comes to music, but I love James Taylor and Jackson Browne both. And so I went, they're playing right down the street on November something, like November 5th, right around my birthday. And so I found that the seats, the lowest price tickets, $60. The next tier up was $80, and I found two good seats for $80. So $160 is too much for me to spend right now on a concert, but I thought, what the hell? You know, it's my birthday, we'll celebrate, whatever. I'm putting up on the screen the breakdown from Ticketmaster. So the pair of tickets, it comes out to $159. The service fee, $48. Ticketmaster charges $48 for two tickets. Then you get dinged $475 for a facility charge, and then an order processing charge of $675. So for a pair of tickets that should be $159, the total is $222.85.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Unbelievable. I'm not going to do that. You know, and then you're still navigating COVID, but $80 in service charges on top of what you pay for the tickets, that's criminal.
Terrible.
And people are wondering why
I haven't gone to a concert in a very, very long time,
right,
either. And, you know,
Yes, because I was in the business, and usually I can usually get call comps. Somebody and get,
right.
get in.
Right.
But I just by chance I noticed that this coming weekend, I think it's Saturday and Sunday or Friday and Saturday, Wilco is playing one night, and the next night Willie Nelson is playing.
Oh,
and they're in the same venue, and they're outdoors.
Where?
It's outdoors.
Where?
In the Santa Barbara Bowl.
Oh, and that's just one of the most magnificent places anywhere to see a show.
Exactly, and I thought, well, you know what? Maybe we could just drive up for the weekend.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Roland's going to want to go or not. I asked him and haven't heard back from him today.
Yeah, well, David doesn't want to necessarily go either, but it's my birthday. And so, you know, here, Todd Rundgren or, you know, James Taylor and Jackson Browne. And I'm like you. I mean, I didn't have to pay for concert tickets for most of my career. And so that's a lot of money. I mean, even just the ticket price alone. And then I looked at the other prices, like down on the floor. They had a pair of tickets for $935 each. They have a new scam. If the demand is high, the price goes higher.
Sure.
Yeah.
Isn't that the American way?
Yes, it is. Welcome to America. Oh, my God. It's so depressing. So depressing.
See Jackson, say hi for me.
Well, I doubt, you know, that's not a bad, that's what I should do is call Buddha, his manager, who I've known for years. I haven't spoken to him in years, but buy tickets through them. At least then I don't have to pay the service charges and all that stuff.
Jackson to come on your show.
You know, I've had Jackson on the show. When he tours, he doesn't do interviews really. But, you know, I've interviewed him twice. I did two amazing interviews with Jackson, one at KSCA. And one, when I was at Air America, for the whole time I was at Air America, he kept saying, yeah, I want to come on. I want to do it. I want to do it. When they finally got back to me to do it, it was like 2 weeks after Air America went off the air. It was done. And he's like, really? I missed it? So I can re-air those again. I don't think while he's touring, he'll do an interview. But yeah, it's worth a shot.
I mean, ask if he'll do it. And even if they say no, he doesn't want to, say, well, maybe we can do it after the tour.
Yep.
By the way, can I get some tickets to see him?
Yeah. And right now, you know, I've spoken to enough industry people who everyone's hurting because of the pandemic that I wouldn't ask to be comped, but I would ask if I could buy a pair through them. Number one, get great seats. And number two, you don't have to pay those exorbitant service charges.
Yep.
Yeah. I may have to do that.
That would be great. And like I said, you already know him already.
Yeah. Yep.
But, you know, I met Jackson in 19. It was like before he ever had an album.
Wow.
We were both teenagers when I met him.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. You know, and I did. I went online and saw some of the songs that Jackson and James Taylor are doing together. It's like they sounded great. There was no worries about, oh, my God, their voices are shot. No, they still sound wonderful. That'd be a great show to see. So
I got Jackson. An incredible gig. Like I said, he was still a teenager, so it didn't really work out. But it was pretty amazing. They had another name at the time, but he became the lead singer of the Blue Oyster Cult, who were at that time called the Soft White Underbelly.
Oh. Wow, I would not think of him in with Blue Oyster Cult. I just know the first time I interviewed him and I talked about him and the Eagles, I said, you know, did you ever want to be an Eagle? He's like, I always wanted to be an Eagle. I didn't sing good enough. Like, are you nuts?
He sang good enough for the Blue Oyster Cult.
Well, you know, with that, I have nothing to say to that. Don't fear the Reaper, man.
Yeah, this is way before that was written.
It's the only Blue Oyster Cult song I know. Don't fear the Reaper. Yeah,
still?
Fear the government. Do what?
No.
Oh, Godzilla. Godzilla, that's Blue Oyster Cult too? Yeah, I do know that one. Yeah, I just didn't make the connection there.
And what about that one? There's another one about Clap. That's really good. I'm Burning for You.
Oh, Burning for You. That's, I guess, look.
I'm burning for you. Richard Meltzer wrote
of
that
course.
For Blue Oyster Cult.
Okay.
Gonorrhea.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I like the song more now. I haven't thought of Blue Oyster Cult in years, and certainly haven't heard their music in a long time. We should talk music more often. All right, Howie Klein, I'm going to let you go. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for indulging me in my...
Yes. One thing about gonorrhea.
Of course.
There's a reason it's on my mind now.
Yeah.
And why it came up. So
Trump?
I don't want to say who it is.
Trump.
If you don't mind. It doesn't matter. But a guy who is running for the U.S. Senate is obsessed with. He's a rock guy. And one of the bands, and I mean, like, one of the bands we wound up talking about was AC/DC, who
okay.
he just loves. He loves AC/DC.
Okay.
And I said to him, you know, I went to the very first show they played in San Francisco in 1977, and then he's been sending me tapes that were made off the board of that 1977 show, which
God.
I also hadn't thought about in a long time. But one of the songs that they did, which was great at the time of the show, was I don't even know if this is the name of it. I don't remember. It's called Gonorrhea.
Huh?
I don't know if you know them or not. But this is from very very early on. AC/DC.
And it
was
no.
club. We're not talking about some stadium or even a theater band. They were a club band at the time.
No, I was never an AC/DC fan. My tastes are more, I don't know, more AAA than that. You'll get a kick out of this. I started pulling out some of the old things that I used to do use as intros. I got to play something for you, Howie, that you'll get a kick out of. Can you name this person? Oh, you know what? That's the wrong clip. Let me play the right one for you. Here we go. Okay. Right here. Who is this?
Hi, everybody. Coming up, Nicole tells your fortune looking ahead. So get out your crystal and stay tuned with Mistress Nicole. All dressed in leather, you won't forget her. You want to love her and you won't let go. Who's that woman, crazy woman, Nicole?
You obviously, you have to recognize the voice.
No, I don't. It's great, though. It's absolutely great. It's not Lou Reed.
No, right? It is not Lou Reed. Here, I'll play you one other thing that he did for me, and now you'll definitely get it. You'll get it from this other song that he did for me. It goes like this.
Okay. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Yeah. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Once she grabs, she won't let go. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
None of that soft stuff.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
None of that heavy metal stuff.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
Just a little bit of jazz.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
What do you think?
Just I
like
love
that.
It. That was great. Thank you.
Wow!
Somebody's
I mean, first of all, it sounds like it's out of the Greenwich Village folks blues scene. And if I doubt it's him, but if I just had a guess, I would say Tom Rush.
No, it's somebody you know, somebody who was on your label. I thought for sure you'd get it with that second one.
Oh,
Chris Isaak.
Ah! Oh my God! It doesn't sound like Chris to me at all.
Oh wow! Yeah.
But yes, I can see Chris doing something like that to you. He's that guy.
And he did those two. I didn't say, oh, Chris, would you do a theme song for me? Those two were during two separate interviews we did, and he just launched into them on the air. And I just pulled them. It's like, oh, that's going to make a good intro for a show one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah.
Chris is wonderful.
Yeah, he is. I haven't spoken to him in a long time. You know, but anyway, he is great and just a good guy, but you don't want to talk politics with him.
No.
No. All right. Howie Klein, I guess I should let you go. I'm having so much fun, though.
I got to write another post.
Okay. You go do that. I'll talk to you next week. And thank you.
All right, take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. He liked my Chris Isaak theme songs. All right. All right, so we're done. what a day this has been, huh? Tomorrow's Friday. I have no idea what we're doing tomorrow yet. So maybe I'll just let, what's his name? Chris from Texas call again or not. No, I probably won't. All right, everybody, I'm done. I will leave you with the news, and we'll talk again tomorrow. All right, have a good one. Hopefully something good will happen in the next 23 hours or so. And if not, well, we'll survive somehow. All right, I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Thursday, October 14th has arrived. That's significant because it's the day that two of the first four of Trump associates subpoenaed by the House Select Committee investigating January 6th were summoned to appear before the panel. Steve Bannon and Kash Patel. Now, Mark Meadows and Dan Scavino were the other two. They're scheduled for Friday. But the former guy has asked them not to cooperate, claiming executive privilege bars their participation. That's an assertion that Democrats reject. But what are they going to do about it? Steve Bannon will either show up for a deposition as ordered by the committee, or the panel will reportedly immediately pursue criminal contempt charges against him. CNN reporting that the committee is getting ready to seek a referral for criminal contempt as soon as the subpoena deadline expires later today. But Bannon's lawyer on Wednesday sent a letter saying that his client has absolutely no intention of giving testimony or handing documents to the committee until a ruling is made over whether the former guy can assert executive privilege to prevent witnesses from speaking to the panel. CNN sources said the committee would take the initial steps to send a referral to the Department of Justice within hours of Thursday's deadline. Then there's the former chief of staff to the acting Secretary of Defense under Trump, Kash Patel. He was also subpoenaed to testify today, but the chatter is that though he's been in contact with the committee, but will not comply with the subpoena. Okay. Then Mark Meadows and Dan Scavino are supposed to appear tomorrow, Friday, though it's unlikely we'll hear any testimony. It's like deja vu all over again. We went through this during both impeachment trials where Trump's minions just ignored congressional subpoenas and there were absolutely no consequences. This time, the House Select Committee is saying not again. There was actually some action in the committee on Wednesday as former acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen sat for 8 hours of closed door testimony. He appeared voluntarily and explained his notes about events leading up to the January 6th riot. The panel also reportedly asked Rosen about his interactions with Jeffrey Clark. That's the former acting head of the DOJ's civil division. And according to emails and prior testimony, a key ally of the former guy in his efforts to stop President Biden from taking office. So the committee also subpoenaed Clark on Wednesday, requesting documents and an in-person deposition by October 29th. Stay tuned. So obviously the former guy is not happy. And now that he can't take to Twitter to whine, he releases these statements on letterhead that proclaim he's the 45th president of the United States. Well, this time he's urging his supporters not to vote in upcoming elections. Seriously. After raging via multiple statements on Wednesday night, Trump finished it off by writing, quote, "If we don't solve the presidential election fraud of 2020, which we have thoroughly and conclusively documented, Republicans will not be voting in 22 or 24. It is the single most important thing for Republicans to do." So he's telling his supporters not to vote in the two upcoming elections. Awesome. For once, I agree with Donald Trump. The last time he did this, he told Georgia Republicans to sit out the two runoff races last year, calling it, quote, "another rigged election." We wound up with Senators Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff. So, yeah, I like that idea. Even a stopped clock is right twice a day. Well, a federal judge has asked the Justice Department to determine whether the Washington, D.C. jail was violating the civil rights of defendants charged with committing crimes during the deadly January 6th attack on the Capitol. District Judge Royce Lamberth said jail officials had violated the rights of at least one accused Capitol rioter, Christopher Worrell. That's the guy who had pictures of him sitting at Nancy Pelosi's desk with his feet up.
Yeah. The judge said jail officials had violated his rights by failing to get him proper treatment for medical issues, including surgery for a broken hand and care for a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma diagnosis. The judge held both the warden and the Department of Corrections director in civil contempt for failing to turn over Worrell's medical records. An attorney for the jail said he was getting medical care for his cancer and pain management for his broken hand. So, are you vaccinated? Have you gotten boosted yet? Well, the Washington Post reported on Wednesday, citing data from the FDA review of Johnson & Johnson test results, that people who got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine could benefit from a second dose of the same vaccine, but said they might get even better protection with a booster from Moderna or Pfizer. More info is expected later today. Roughly 60,000 workers in the film and television industry may go on strike next week if major Hollywood studios don't offer them a better contract before then. Workers want to see significant pay increases at the bottom end of the wage scale, better compensation for workers on streaming projects, and stronger guarantees on breaks and time off between shifts. And finally, good news for millions of Americans on Social Security. They will get a 5.9% boost in benefits next year. It's the largest cost of living adjustment in 39 years. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is completely listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.